Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
If you got your Bible, come with me to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read two short verses in Romans chapter 1. It's going to be on the screen behind me. If you don't have your Bible, that's totally fine. But I want to read this short passage and talk about the implications for us on Easter Sunday. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, just verse 16 and 17, that's it. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman church, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek." Some translations say the Gentiles, which just means everybody else. So first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles, everybody else. Verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The gospel. You see that word all throughout the New Testament, gospel, and it just literally means good news. The good news. That's the title of my message today on Easter Sunday, the good news. I have three incredibly profound points. Point one is the. Point two is good. And point three is news. Point number one, the. It's the good news. It's not just good news. It's not like, you know, there's a big batch of news that's all pretty good, and this is just kind of a subset of that batch of things that's good. It is the good news. Like the quintessential of all of the news that could be good, this is the best news. It is the good news. If you got your, you know, little Johnny at Coronado Middle School and he makes the honor roll and Johnny comes home, he's like, "Dad, I made the honor roll." And you're like, "Wow, that's good news. I'm so proud of you, little Johnny." And that is, that's good news. Way to go, Johnny. That's awesome. Good for you. But if little Johnny comes home and says, "Dad, I made the honor roll," and you say, "Wow, this is the good news. My existence has been made complete at this news of you making the honor roll. I have that's it. I have achieved the highest level of human existence." You know, that's weird. But this is the good news, not just good news. And this is actually one of the big problems that people have with Christianity, is this idea of exclusivity. And look, again, I didn't write the Bible. I don't get to edit it. I don't get to change it. I don't get to preach around. Like, I just preach what's in it. Jesus himself in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yikes. That is highly offensive in today's culture. It is exclusive. It says that there is no other way. But listen, those are the words of Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that one statement, and I could pick up dozens of them, but that one statement is why you cannot just look at Jesus and say he is a good teacher. He is either an absolute psychopath who went around telling people that he was God, forgiving people sins, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's either a psycho or he's right. Those are the only two options. There is no in between. He can't just be a good teacher. Da, da, da. He said, "I am." Like, can you imagine you're at the mall and you're like in line at Sbarro to get a delicious pizza, pepperoni pizza, and you're with your kids, and the guy in front of you is like, "Oh, hey, man, I just thought you should know that I'm the way. I'm the life, I'm the truth. If you want to get to heaven, it's through me." Like, you would be like, "Come on, kids, we're going to Panda Express. Let's go, get out of here." Like, it's crazy. But Jesus Christ walked around saying things like that. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's the good news, not just good news. What's so beautiful, though, is yes, It is exclusive. And I can't, I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus himself said. But if you look at that verse in Romans we just read, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the same way that it is exclusive, it is infinitely inclusive, because if anybody comes and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, I don't care what your socioeconomic background is, I don't care what color your skin is, I don't care what side of the tracks you grew up on, everyone has the availability of the salvation of God. It is the good news. Can somebody say amen? Point number two, it's the good news. And I think it's actually, to understand why it's so good, I think it can be instructive to actually look at the bad news, all right? So we're going to take a downer for a minute. Everybody say, aw. We're going to take a downer for a minute, but that's going to come right back up. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us, not the Pope, not Mother Teresa, not your sweet granny in Alabama. Nobody, nobody. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God, and that the consequence of that is death. It's a disconnectedness from the God that made you. It's a disconnectedness from the source of life. Okay, the Garden of Eden tells this story of Adam and Eve, the first two humans, and they walked in perfect communion with God. The Bible says that God would walk with them in the cool of the garden. They would have conversations. There was zero barrier between man and God. They walked in perfect communion, but then Adam and Eve made the decision to go their own way because God gave them free will so that it could have an actual relationship, okay? If there's no free will, like if I met my wife and I clubbed her over the head and dragged her back to my cave by her ponytail and I told everybody that she loved me, that's not love, okay? Love is a two-way street. And so God gave us free will to love him back. And Adam and Eve and every single one of us have actually said, you know what? We don't want to be under God. We want to actually be like God. We want to be our own God. I want to make my own decisions. I want a Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. We want to do our own thing. And the Bible says that causes a disconnectedness from God, away from the source of life. I actually went outside and I picked this leaf right here, this beautiful green leaf. It's very green, very waxy, looks very healthy. But every single one of us know that the minute that I disconnected this leaf from its life source, I sent it on a collision course with its, it may look great now, it looks very green, looks green, but we know that it's not going to last. That in a handful of days, it's going to dry out, it's going to shrivel up, it's going to wither. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they realized that they were naked, and all of a sudden shame came and condemnation came and guilt came, and they sewed fig leaves together for themselves. I hope Adam's needed a bigger leaf than this, but I don't know, I wasn't there. They sewed fig leaves together as a covering for themselves. And the Bible, and it's amazing because the fig leaves were a picture of the insufficiency of their own covering. And so the minute Adam, and what the moral of the story is that no matter what, when man tries to cover their own deficiencies, their dysfunction, put the mask on, show everybody the face that everything's fine, but when you know behind closed doors, it's not, that it is an insufficient covering. And what is so beautiful is that in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that God provided a suitable covering for Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve try to cover themselves with fig leaves, which we know isn't going to work. And the Bible says that God provided a suitable covering for them by killing an animal and covering them with animal skins. And so from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, we see a precedent is set that in order to cover the insufficient covering of man, something innocent is going to have to die. And that's what we see at the very beginning of the Bible. So, which, you know, okay, I remember when I was coming to faith and it was a little new, that didn't make sense to me. I'm like, okay, why? Why does something innocent have to die in order, like, why can't God just forgive? If he's all love and all kindness and all goodness, why can't God just say, hey, you guys are trying your best. I get it. It's hard out there. But you know what? I'm filled with grace and mercy, so, you know, don't worry about it. It's all good. Cover it. It doesn't work that way, because if God just forgives, then he is no longer just. If he doesn't uphold disobedience, If he doesn't uphold justice for disobedience, then he is no longer just, and he's no longer good, and he's no longer God. God has to maintain justice. And so God is faced with this crazy predicament where the wages of sin is death, but he gave human beings free will, and we have, every single one of us, have chosen a different way. And so now death has to come to us, but God doesn't want to do that because he loves us. And so God is faced with this predicament, and he has to find another way. Something innocent has to die. Let's imagine, to maybe explain the point a little better. Let's say that I borrow your car, all right? And, mine's in the shop or whatever, and so I borrow your car. I go to Boney's. I get an Island Baja sandwich, which is one of the greatest things on the island, if you didn't know that. And I'm enjoying my Island Baja sandwich in the car. I go to reverse, and I back up, and poof, and I hit the wooden fence at Boney's right across the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, no. And I run out, and I look, and the bumper is, like, so terribly dented. And I'm like, this is not good. I can't afford to pay the cost to get it fixed. And so I call you, and I'm like, listen, I'm so sorry. Like, I dented the bumper of your car. I mean, it's probably going to be $1,000 to fix, and I can't afford it. And you say, you know what? I forgive you. It's all good. Don't worry about it. The dent in the bumper doesn't go away. The bumper is still dented. What has happened is you have absolved me of the responsibility for the dent in the bumper. Now you are going to have to pay $1,000, or when you sell the car, have to sell it for $1,000 less. The debt doesn't go away. The responsibility for the debt is transferred to somebody else. Okay? And so just because you said, I forgive you, doesn't mean that the bumper just goes and just pops back out. It is still there. Somebody has to pay. And that's why it's good news. Because Jesus Christ paid the price for the debt that you and I owe, which is death, because we have all chosen our own way. We said, you know what, God? It's all good. I don't need to obey your commands. I don't need to obey your laws. I want to do it my way. The wages of that is a disconnectedness from God, from the life source, the source of all life, the source of all truth, the source of all goodness. And so the wages of that, the consequence of that is separation from him. But a substitution was made, and something innocent died. 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus Christ died paying the debt that you and I owe. That's why it is good news. It means you are not a slave to your past, your proclivities, your appetites, your addictions, your dysfunctions. You don't have to live that way. That there actually is real freedom available for you. And I know that it's true, because I have seen it over and over and over again. I'm going to tell this story as vague as possible, because I want to protect the family that I'm talking about. But there's a family at our church that is beloved by everybody. Like, they are awesome, and they are great leaders. They are the kindest people in the world. They're great shepherds. Like, they are awesome people, great marriage, great kids in every way. And they have one of the most gnarly, violent pasts you could ever imagine. Gang violence, prison, drugs, abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, like gnarly things, like hardcore prison time. And the crazy thing is, I've known them for years and years and years and years and years, and I didn't find out about all of that until way, way, way years into my friendship with this couple. And you know what's amazing is I would have never known. I would have never known. There's not an ounce of residue on their life. That's because Jesus Christ has the power to transform any life. It's the difference between the Christian faith and every other worldview, ideology, whatever. Every other religion says you got to follow these rules. You got to pray this many times a day. You got to do all this and dress this way. And then maybe if you catch God on a good day and he doesn't have heartburn, then he's going to accept you. Christianity says that you can't do it, that Jesus Christ enters your life and he changes you from the inside out, and you become a new creation. Not because of your goodness, but because of his goodness. That's why it's the good news. Somebody say amen. And lastly, point number three, as we come to a close, have the worship team join me. Keys get going. The Holy Spirit shows up whenever there's keyboards. It's just how it works. I don't know why. It's just how it goes. Point number three, the good news. My wife and I know a little bit about the news. and not by choice, okay? We moved here 3 years ago. We moved to San Diego 12 years ago from Dallas, Texas, moved out here so I could go to UC San Diego. I did a PhD in structural engineering, had zero intention of ever being a pastor, really didn't have any intention of ever being a Christian. And then my wife dragged me to church. I had my life radically changed by Jesus Christ, fell in love with his church, and here I am, you know, pastoring this amazing campus. We also pastor the Eastlake campus of Awakened Church. And right after service, we're going to shoot on over there and have the 10 a.m. and the noon service at Eastlake. But we'd built a house in Eastlake a handful of years ago and just really felt it was time to sell it. We didn't really know why. We loved the house and we sold it. And we lived like 12 minutes away from the Eastlake campus. And that's where we went there all the time because that's where we pastor and we still do. And we wanted to like buy a house like 2 minutes from the church. I wanted to be able to just like walk to Eastlake campus and it was just going to make life so easy. But we looked everywhere and could not find something that we wanted. And so our close date was approaching and like we're like about to be homeless. And so my wife is like, hey, you know what? We can't find a place. Why don't we just move to Coronado for a year? We'll rent a little bungalow on the beach. We got young kids. It'll be fun. I'm like, Katie, that's a terrible idea. Like we're trying to save the money we made from the house. But my wife prevailed. Happy wife, happy life, as they say. And we moved here 3 years ago. And it was like almost instantly, we knew that God wanted an Awakened Church campus here in Coronado. Coronado needs more life-giving churches, not less. Now, if you are, if you've ever used the internet, or you have ever been on Facebook, or you have basically read any edition of the Coronado Eagle ever, then you have heard about my wife and I. If you have never met us and you believe the things you read, then you would think that we are fascist, racist, homophobe, Christian nationalist, instigators, hell-bent on radicalizing Coronado, or I don't know, something like that. I think that's pretty much sums it up. I'm not any of those things, by the way, just so you know. I am a Christian. But I am just a Christian pastor who refuses to be bullied and will not be told where the good news of Jesus Christ can and cannot be spread. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All of it. Doesn't matter where. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. News is supposed to be all of the new things. That's what it means, the news. It's not that anymore. It's hard to even describe what the news is these days. But what it's supposed to be is all of the new things, the news. A newspaper is supposed to be a list of all the new things that have happened in the last week or the last day. That's what the news is supposed to be. So for the gospel, the message of Christianity to be the good news, it means that Christianity is not a worldview, it's not an ideology, it is an announcement of a historic event. So what event? Jesus Christ coming to this earth 2,000 years ago. And the reason that that is the good news, that that is the historic event of all historic events, I'll tell it this way. In 1961, Yuri Gagarin, a Russian cosmonaut, was the very first man to ever enter space. And he landed, and it was back in the space race when in the Cold War, and it was very crazy, Russia-America relations. And Yuri Gagarin was quoted as saying, he didn't actually say this. It was the Russian government said it, but that's another story for another time. But Yuri Gagarin was quoted as saying, I have been to the heavens, and I saw no God there. And so C.S. Lewis, very famous 20th century Christian thinker, said, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And he wrote an essay in response to that called The All-Seeing Eye. And he argued, you can't think of God relating to this world like he's on the second story and we're on the first story. That doesn't make any sense. It would be like going into a house designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, the famous modernist architect, and you're walking through the house saying, well, I don't believe he designed this. Where is he? He's not in here. You wouldn't think that God would relate to this world as if he's on the second floor and we're on the first floor. C.S. Lewis said, it's better actually to think of it this way. Imagine that we are all in a play. That's what William Shakespeare said. He said, all the world is a stage. Imagine that we are in a play. Just, we'll say the play Hamlet. Let's say that I'm Hamlet. I'm the main character, Hamlet, and you guys are all characters in the play. Imagine what it would be like for you to come up to me and explain to me the nature of William Shakespeare, the creator. And so you come up to me and say, yeah, there's this creator that made everything. He made us. He made everything we see. He's kind of in control of all the situations. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, is he like a character like us? Well, no, he's not. He's not a character. Okay, well, does he look like us? Well, I don't actually really know. I mean, I think we're like made in his image, but I'm not sure. Like, it would be very difficult to explain to a character in the play the nature of William Shakespeare unless William Shakespeare wrote himself into the play as a character in the play that we could meet, that we could interact with. And that is why it's the good news. The news is that 2,000 years ago, God himself wrote himself as a character in the play in the form of a man named Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what the God of heaven is like, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what God cares about, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what makes God angry, you look to Jesus. Jesus is the self-disclosure of God in the earth. He is the innocent substitution that took my place, took your place, so that we, on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I heard a pastor say the reason he said that is so that Mike Yeager would never have to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you would never have to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus said it. Jesus died in your place, in my place. And the Bible says that if we would just believe in him, that we wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God's not asking you for a big laundry list of good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds. He's not asking you to go do anything. He's asking you to believe in him. And if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. I'd love it if we'd all just bow our heads and close our eyes as we come to a close here on Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, I want to make sure to give everybody an opportunity to be introduced to God through Jesus. The Bible says that there is one mediator between man and God, and it is his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And so I want to give anybody in here an opportunity to do that. Maybe you've never believed. Maybe you've never heard the story ever in your life. Like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I had no idea. Or maybe you grew up in church and you know, once walked with God, but you've fallen away, slipped away. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're in here today and you just feel far from God. What I'm going to do is here in a second, I'm going to count to three. And if you know that you need to make that decision today, I'm just going to ask you just in your seat to shoot your hand up in the air and I'm going to see it and I'll know that to include you in my closing prayer. And so if you're in any one of those three categories of people, I'm going to pray for you here in just 1 second. So if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Who needs to make that decision today? Beautiful. See that hand? Amazing. Anybody else? Beautiful. Amazing. Anybody else? The Bible says that there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that is available to us. You don't have to be tormented. You don't have to wrestle with your past. Don't have to be riddled with guilt from dysfunction in your past. Whatever, there is freedom for you. Anybody else need to make that decision today as we come to a close? Amazing. Maybe we'll hop to our feet. And what I want to do is I want to take a second and we're all going to pray together. I'm going to just walk everybody through a very, very simple prayer. And it's just a prayer of belief. It's a prayer exactly like we just talked about, a prayer of saying, God, I give you my life. So let's actually all pray this prayer out loud together. Let's everybody say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for sending Jesus on a rescue mission to save me. On Easter Sunday, I declare that my sins are forgiven, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses me, of all unrighteousness. I declare that heaven is my home. God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.